A Seattle advisory board says the city should set up BYOB-type drinking zones in the city. Now, that might make you think of a beer garden where you can bring your own drink, but this is not Oktoberfest. I talked about it with Lisa Dugard, who's on this advisory board, the Community Policing Commission. She told me that these designated consumption zones would be a response to a problem the city is having with public intoxication. Actually, two problems.
The first is that it is a felt problem in Seattle neighborhoods that people are drinking alcohol and using drugs in public and in ways that are problematic from a neighborhood public order perspective. Separately, from a police reform perspective, public consumption citations, because consuming drugs or consuming marijuana or alcohol are civil violations under the city code, those citations, when they're issued by the Seattle Police Department, are issued in a way that disproportionately focus on African Americans and Native Americans for alcohol and African Americans for marijuana. So those are two very different observations. They happen to dovetail in our report because they both sort of independently suggest that it would be good to take a different approach.
Is the person you have in mind a homeless person, a chronic inebriate? Who are you imagining using these sites?
That's a good point. I think it is our understanding that the problem to be solved for is that of people who are addicted and consume substances on the street chronically. Neighborhood leaders are very clear that that is not the sum total of the problem presented by public drinking in particular, and that there is a significant problem, particularly in Pioneer Square, with sports fans who consume alcohol in public, and that there is an accountability issue for that population as well. I don't think that the CPC anticipates that the designated beer gardens are going to be used by Seahawks fans, you know.
Right.
So there's no question that these solutions are primarily for a portion of the population that engages in this behavior and are unlikely to be used by some other people who are admittedly posing problems for particular neighborhoods.
Okay, so you're proposing this idea of safe consumption sites. What are those? How would they work?
The idea of safe consumption sites is that, you know, while we might all wish that, you know, nobody was addicted to drugs or alcohol, people are, and they're not going to stop their use overnight, given that if you can organize where and how that use takes place in ways that assist people over time in reducing or giving up those substances, that's beneficial to the people. And if you can organize that in such a way that it basically allows legitimate enforcement in all other areas of the city, then that's a net plus for neighborhoods.
Okay, public health experts and eventually city council members would be asking a whole bunch of questions to sort out the details. How would these safe consumption sites work? Where would they be? Who could use them? I want to know, what effect do you think these safe consumption sites would have on the people who would use in these designated areas?
The hoped-for effect is that, you know, people are, at worst, no worse off, right? That this does no harm. But that for many people, it's the beginning of connection to an array of support services that eventually facilitate that person reducing or eliminating their use of substances. That is not required, but it still happens.
Lisa, despite your good intentions, would the city also be telling people, we're going to help you be an alcoholic, we're going to help you use and hurt yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, you know, a widespread misconception about harm reduction based approaches, and these safe consumption approaches are harm reduction approaches. If no one was currently out there drinking and using drugs in public, that would be a legitimate concern, but they are. It is not that the problem is created by the response. The response is accepting the reality that people are drinking, people are using drugs, and those people are not all going to stop that use overnight, nor can they. That just flies in the face of the reality of how addiction plays out, as many, many people know from experiences in their own family. And so this is a reality-based solution. It takes seriously the neighborhood public order issues that we heard about. Those are legitimate problems. We are saying, let's get serious about actually making an impact on those. Citations don't. Nobody that we talked to contended that citations were likely to actually change behavior. So I guess what we're saying is, if you like the status quo, by all means, let's keep doing what we're doing. We are not sensing a huge enthusiasm for the status quo out there. So for all of us who would like to see it be better, what realistically can accomplish that? And harm reduction approaches do reduce people's use over time. They do make things better, which is not the same as perfect, but better is better for everybody.
Better is better. Lisa Dugard is a member of an independent advisory board in Seattle called the Community Policing Commission. That commission has just released this recommendation that the city of Seattle create safe consumption sites for the legal use of alcohol and marijuana.